Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show. Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio. It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, things.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know, ah!
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes until somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done, other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what is going on? How you feeling? How you doing? How your mama doing? We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey man.
Here's the deal, guys. We are all frustrated with the way things have gone thus far with our football team, and Mike and I are going to talk plenty about it. But before we get into that and what happened yesterday, and by the way, you'll hear Dan Quinn's press conference coming up from Flowery Branch at around 3:15. Also, Dan Quinn with the coaches show with Wes Durham and Dave Archer at 4 o'clock. The player segment today is Devondre Campbell. So that's all on the way. But Mike Bell, you were there last night.
Mm-hmm.
We are back in the playoffs. We are back in this series. And today, this afternoon, as a matter of fact, Folty going back on the hill for our Atlanta Braves. How exciting was that last night?
What a great vibe last night at SunTrust Park. And everybody was tuned up and ready to go because a lot of people spent the afternoon at the Battery either watching the Falcons game or the afternoon NFL game. So everybody was rocking and rolling and ready to go. And, I wasn't here in 91, which obviously is still a very special time for longtime Braves fans. But this was the first time playoffs at SunTrust. And, Carl, to see it's one thing when you do the tomahawk chop, okay, everybody's kind of half-heartedly doing it in a regular season. To get them at full throat and continuing it after the music stops, during at bats, and seeing the Dodger players looking up from around the dugout and seeing the energy, it was really cool. I mean, it was just an absolute great vibe. The Acuna home run, the grand slam, there's no roof, but, I mean, the roof metaphorically blew off the place. And later on, obviously, there were some tight sphincters when, unfortunately, the bullpen gave some back. But then to see Freddie go yard, I mean, the place is going nuts. People high-fiving, hugging on the way down the ramps. It was just an electric vibe last night.
Well, we had talked about this all season. And our whole premise from this conversation, guys, was our team's pretty good. They're exciting to watch. We've got all these young, talented players to go watch on a nightly basis for the most part. And Mike and I have been to our fair share of games as fans because we like to enjoy it from a fan's perspective and like to experience you guys, you know, just like what you do. But we had said this, you know, the last couple of months, and it had gotten to a point where it was a little frustrating,
right?
Because we're going, wait a minute, guys, we're making a run here towards this division. We may win it. We're going to win it. And it was like, Mike, we were still waiting for this explosion. And last night, it happened. For those who weren't paying attention, for maybe people who were kind of, you know, halfway in, a toe in the water kind of deal,
right?
Now you're all in, and you realize all the things we've been talking about this season with this particular team. And, you know, I'm hoping today that they can find a way to get a win. The deal is, Folty has to overcome emotions, man. I mean, he didn't last long in the last time he got that start last week in game one. 2 innings, it's not enough. He didn't throw a whole lot of pitches. I think it was 50 pitches, so he's fresh. Mike, today he's got to handle his emotions.
Yeah, I mean, you're hoping that he's got, you know, obviously some 1,001, 1,002. Catch your breath. And now he's got his head right here. And plus, they were home. And the Braves just responded at home after looking like the moment was too big for him the first two games out of Dodger Stadium. I'm not sure what Snitker was doing, but it worked out. I didn't understand why he would take Newcomb out when he did, but it worked to our advantage. I didn't like seeing Fried come in, nor did really anyone else, and that didn't work out very well. I would have thought you start with Gausman, you know, you like Gosman, the idea, Carl, of throwing some ground balls, and unfortunately the ball that was thrown and hit, it wasn't a ground ball. It went about 380 feet. So certainly you've got a lot of guys out there. Was your computer attacking you?
Yes. My computer
hold on,
is like,
what's going on?
My computer's like, you are on
is
something.
Did you get a new one?
No, this is the same one, but for whatever reason, I opened it, and it was like...
It's like the HAL 5000.
I learn to understand you much better if I can get familiar with the way you
think. I think you would have like a porn site on there or something.
So that's whatever that thing where you press the button and you ask the computer questions, and it helps you, like your phone.
Right, like a Siri type thing.
Yeah, she wants to help me, and I haven't even asked her anything.
Please pipe down. Even in the Me Too movement, lady, we'll get to you in a moment. We got a radio show to do. But yeah, man, the vibe last night, despite some of the like the strategy things which had us confused... The strike zone was unfortunately confusing from where we were sitting. Real quick, you were watching it at home.
Yeah.
I mean, was the ump consistently bad for both teams? Because we could not believe when Bueller, when he walks Newcomb on four pitches. That was mind-blowing. But, hey, I guess the moment got too big for him, too.
Yeah, I thought Bueller, Vandy guy, by the way, it kind of was in his head. And Bueller, to be honest with you, you know, when you start talking about the Dodgers – you could argue, if you went and looked at the numbers, he's probably been their best pitcher. I know everybody talks about, you know, the other guys and what that staff looks like. Right. But, Mike, I thought the strike zone itself was a little tight. You know, Conte and I, you were having this conversation a little bit earlier before we came on today. I thought it was a little tight, but it was tight for both teams. And I thought something, you know, we talk about this consistency, right? If you're going to be bad, be consistently bad. If you're going to be, you know, throw a strike zone, have a strike zone for the Braves and a different one for the Dodgers, that's when I started to have a problem. But I thought both teams kind of got jabbed by the strike zone last night. So I'm with you at times. I was like, oh, but, you know, it's one of those things. You can't argue balls and strikes. We get into it all the time, guys. Braves, Dodgers, game four. We're going to talk plenty about it. As a matter of fact, Paul Byrd set to join us here in about 10 minutes. From Fox Sports Southeast, and we'll talk to Paul about not only today, but maybe, just maybe. You know, baseball's a little different than other sports in the sense that with football, with the four quarters, you have this emotion, and sometimes, you know, a block punt, Falcons, can change the momentum of a game.
Right.
Baseball, it's literally last night is done, and now you come back today, and what happens today literally has no bearing. As much emotion that happened last night with the fans – has no bearing because you go out today, Mike, and as we said, it Folty struggles. All of a sudden, they get up. It's just that's baseball.
Yeah, the joke is, you know, you're only as good as your next pitcher.
That's right.
Or the guy that's on the bump for the other guy. So we'll see how it goes. I know that Braves fans will be fired up. Looks like the weather. I mean, maybe get some intermittent showers. We just had one just roll through Midtown, but hopefully, weather will be right for this afternoon battle. And look, you got to get some confidence back. Hey, you know, catch your breath. Problem is, in a 5-game series, you still got the pressure on you. It'll be all hands on deck again today from the bullpen standpoint. And I guess. And it seems like he's hesitant to use him, but Turan, if need be, but hopefully you're hoping that Folty, on what is basically 3.5 to 4 days rest, can get the job done.
Yeah, it is interesting to see what's going to happen. Julio will be available. I don't believe Tuki Toussaint will be available today, just based on the pitching amount of pitches he has had over the last few days. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Follow us on social media. We invite you to the radio station, 929 The Game. On Twitter, he's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, see Dukes, and the radio show is Dukes and Bell, 929. We're going to give you a chance to win $1,000 coming up here in just a little bit. As we talk about the Braves, I do want you to hear from Brian Snicker, and we'll give you at least the start of what is going to be a long conversation today about our Falcons. But first, here's our manager, Snit, on Freddie Freeman.
Somebody asked me today before the game, doing the broadcast, like, who would you pick or the guy? And I was like, Freddie. I mean, it's just, it's always him. It's he's the guy that, you know, we count on. And I'm happy for him that he could provide that.
I agree. Acuna has been the most exciting player. Freddie has been and continues to be the most consistent. And, Mike, we talked about it at the end of the season, last 15 games, he's on a tear. He's hitting almost 400. I mean, last night it was so good to see him come through in that moment, really the deciding run as the Braves win 6-5. And I know, listen, guys, we're all on the edge of our seats. Real quick, Mike, when the bullpen and we see the situation. Even Vizcaíno had me on the edge of my seat.
Dude, you got a guy 3-0 with runners on first and second, and you're sitting there going, oh, boy, please don't see the Dodgers all jumping up on the infield here at SunTrust because this could be real ugly. Good news was both Minter and then Vizcaíno showed poise. Vizcaíno, I mean, a lot of pitches. If you didn't see it, the first at-bat with Peterson, a lot of foul balls. I thought maybe, you know, he was kind of expending too much energy, but he was able to battle back. That was huge, absolutely huge to get the 3 strikeouts. So, you know, confidence that you got the closer in there, and Minter's the setup man. But, boy, I mean, It was electric. If nothing else, Carl, you didn't get swept. I'm hoping we can get something cooking today. But a valuable lesson for all the young guys out there. And then next year, hopefully Anthopoulos goes out, shores up the bullpen, and maybe we find another starter, or we see how the rookies and how the young guys battle down in Orlando before they go to Northport, and we'll see who's going to be our starters next season.
Future is bright. More Braves conversation coming your way. Today is a Falcon Monday, guys. It's Falcon Monday powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV. Yesterday, we got our butt kicked, plain and simple. With the Steelers playing the way they did, they got after us. We had no answers. But as we watch this game unfold, Mike, final score 41-17, and really it run that close, let's be honest. Matt was sacked 6 times yesterday and pressured numerous times, and guys were in his grill all afternoon. And, guys, as much as we talk about the defense, Mike Bell, the offensive line looked like crap yesterday.
Yeah, this was one that we had not really talked a lot about because the last 2 games in losses, obviously, we put up ridiculous numbers. Now, we didn't really run the ball effectively or did the bare minimum before this game. But Schrader, Matthews, I mean, across the board, Alex Mack got rolled back at one point by Ironhead's kid. I mean, it was just ugly. Enough blame to go around. I thought, why not slants, quick hits? Play action, there's no point in it because the plays are taking too long to develop. And they're in our face. They were masking zone blitzes. Matt had no idea where the heat was coming from. I mean, the personnel wasn't allowing you to check out of it. So, yeah, this is something we haven't really talked about in a while. Our offensive line is not great. When you do it patchwork with free agency, the way we've done it over the years, next draft, and we're not throwing in the towel for this, but next year you're going to have to commit, really commit to a top pick for offensive line and defensive line maybe for that as well.
I totally agree. But I want to be clear. At 2:11, I'll say it again at 3 o'clock and 4 and 5 and 6. It's a big show. We're not throwing in the towel. We're not quitting. We're not giving up. The team's 1-4. And believe it or not, which most of you don't, there have been 8 or 9 teams in the history of the league that have come out of this situation and actually made the playoffs. So it is not an impossible situation. So when I said earlier when I was talking to Rick and John and Harry Douglas is in here and, you know, there is hope. There truly is because there's a precedent that's been set that you can do this. Now, for us, what's it going to take for us to do this? Because that's really the question, Mike. We're sitting here and we're going, all right, listen, the season's not over by any stretch of the imagination. Saints play tonight. We still got 4 more division games in front of us. But what is it going to take for us to get there?
Yeah, I just hope that, I mean, what are we going to say? I mean, everybody wants that magic, you know, oh, well, snap your fingers, let's get it. Honestly, the backups aren't capable, okay? Duke Riley, and we love his effort, and we love his intensity. He has no clue what he's doing out there. He takes bad angles. How many missed tackles? My God. That 3rd and 13, I mean, my new motto for Vic Beasley is this close. This close. Because he's always this close.
Almost.
You know, it's just, it's so exasperating. The starters aren't stepping up. The backups are incapable of doing it. We all know the injuries and how it's difficult for anybody to overcome losing that kind of talent. But yesterday, basic football stuff, tackling, blocking, couldn't get it done. So I know Dan Quinn's going to tell us that, you know, they're going to get back to work and they'll put the work in. They're going to coach them up. But I just don't think we've got the capable backups here to get the job done. So I hope I'm wrong. I hope we can bounce back. The good news is the Bucs are terrible on defense, and we can score a ton of points against them on Sunday. But we've got to be able to get a few stops.
We felt that way against the Steelers, and look what happened. 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Let's give you a chance to win some money right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
October! October's the code word. 72881.
Nice. Good for baseball, not so good for football right now. October. Text that to 72881. The word is October. If you're new to the station, it's our national signing bonus contest. It's a nationwide contest. Carl and I have given up more loot than anybody. Text the word October to 72881 and answer the phone if someone calls you this hour.
What are we going to get from Fulte, and do the bats continue to respond? We will talk to Paul Byrd next. We're talking Braves with you. It's game 4 coming up a little bit later on today. It is Dukes and Bell. We're going to get back into our Falcon conversation. Dan Quinn, his presser at 3:15, so stay tuned for that as the Falcons try to figure out a way to right the ship, guys, after some tough losses and then yesterday's beatdown against the Steelers. It is Tampa Bay Sunday at Mercedes-Benz. Let's say good afternoon to Paul Byrd. Of course, guys, you get a chance to watch him on Fox Sports Southeast. He was part of the postgame festivities last night. And I got to ask you, before we get into the game and the nuances of what happened last night and what may happen today, how crazy was that for you and being at the Battery last night after that game?
That was absolute madness. And I mean, I got to tell you, it's midnight and the shed, you know, it's shaking. People are going nuts. The chop, we got a DJ 30 feet away. I could barely hear the questions from Chip Carey. I loved every single minute of it.
Yeah, it was bananas as the fireworks are going off. I was part of that melee, Paul, leaving the battery. Nobody wanted to leave. It was just such a great energy.
No.
What did you think, though? Because I was a little freaked out by some of the moves. Would you have kept Newcomb in? Either way, it all worked out for Snit. But what do you think of the pitching moves?
Yeah, the reason it looked bad is because Gausman came in and struggled. And that's why it looked so bad. Now, a lot of us said, what is he doing? It's too soon. It's too soon. Let him work through this. You know, had he, we let him work through this and he given up three or four runs, I think everybody would have said, God, Nuke was wild. He couldn't even throw strikes to the bottom part of the order. Why didn't we go get him? So I don't think he could have won. In my opinion, yes, he got him too soon. I thought he should have let him go a little longer. But as you say, it all worked out in the end. And, you know, this is the Braves. Why not have a little drama? Why stop what's been working all year long? So it was a crazy game. I got to say this. I think the fans won that game. I do, because I walked into the stadium and I was watching some of it. I had post-game and I'm going around. And when they broke out the chop and Walker Buehler could not throw strikes to Newcomb, that was the game.
Right.
That was the game right there, because Walker Buehler has been their best pitcher over the last 2 months. He's been nails, phenomenal control. And when that crowd started doing the chop, it was deafening. And he was missing his spots by 2 or 3 feet.
Right.
You cannot tell me that nerves, pressure, loudness, and being in that environment did not change that game. And then credit Mr. Acuna for doing what he did. I'm so glad the umpire called that 3-0 a strike now.
Right.
It is Paul Byrd, guys, joining us here on Dukes and Bell, Fox Sports Southeast. We'll have the post-game coverage following all Braves playoff games, and follow them at Fox Sports Braves for extensive coverage throughout each game, guys, and the postseason. Paul, what do you expect from Folty today? We talked about it a little bit. You know, he gave up the 2 home runs, lasted 2 innings. I think he's a little flustered in that last outing. What do you think happens today?
I think he will make an adjustment. I think it will be better for him to, having gone through the first experience jitters, to where he'll make an adjustment. I look for him to throw his slider, which has been tops in the MLB, along with Chris Sale, at getting people out this year. Like, people just don't hit it, like hitting barely over one against it. And I look for him to use that more. I think he tried to finish some guys off with high fastballs, save the slider for later. Today, I think he understands, hey, I got to give our team 1 inning, and then 2, and then 3, instead of saying, hey, I'm going to save something for the 7th. He needs to go for the jugular every inning, and if he's got to double up on, triple up on sliders, then that's what he's got to do. And it's going to be really exciting to see if he's able to calm his emotions down in SunTrust Park and hit his spots.
It is Paul Byrd, guy. Played for the Braves, played in the Bigs for many years. Now you see him on TV on Fox Sports Southeast. Joins us here on the WaitFor.com hotline. The I guess Julio Teheran would be the go-to guy. That's what Snitker was saying. Do you trust Julio now? Because after like up-and-down season, he was better at the end of the year.
So, I mean this with respect to Julio. Sometimes he's lights out and phenomenal, and sometimes it's a disaster, right?
Right.
So it depends which guy we're going to get. What's encouraging for me is Julio's got some extra rest.
Right.
And sometimes as a starter at the end of the year, you need that little jolt, that little pick-me-up. You got that good, fresh arm. And I'm not just talking about velo on fastball. I'm talking about crispness on the slider when you open the door and you see the dot on the backside of the ball. I'm talking about all the other stuff when the arm's fresher. The off-speed stuff can be even better. So that whole gives me a little bit of hope with Julio. And let's face it, Julio does not have good numbers against the Dodgers, but if he can come in this situation at home, amped up with a fresh arm, there could be a difference.
Camargo has not played well, at least from the plate. 0 for 12, four strikeouts in these first three games. But ironically, against the guy that's on the hill today, and that's Hill, he is 3 for 6 and two doubles. And he's, you know, obviously back in the lineup. And my point, you know, Paul, is we're going to need, obviously you're hoping Acuna and Freddie continue to do what they're doing, but you're going to need some of these other guys to step up and either get on or produce, right?
Yeah, you do. Dodgers pitching has been phenomenal. And I really mean that, because it's my job as a pitcher to study and analyze every single pitch to the minute detail. So I count mistakes. They haven't made very many mistakes. Now, it's the playoffs. I know numbers are important over the long haul, but anytime you have a five-game series, anything can happen. Anybody can be the hero at any one point. So if the Dodgers make a few mistakes, I look for Camargo to come alive. And these Braves have taken turns all year long on different players being the hero. I remember when Freddie Freeman couldn't hit for 2 weeks and he was feeling the weight of the world on his shoulders, and then he turned it around. So all these guys, I think, will help out in some way. I mean, no guarantees, but it wouldn't surprise me if Camargo went 3 for 3 tonight, is what I'm trying to say,
right,
and he was the hero. So it'll be a blast to watch, guys.
It is Paul Byrd with us, guys, and it's Acuna, Albies, Freeman, Markakis, Camargo, Flowers in there, then Ender and Culberson, of course, faulty on the bump. Did you like the way Tyler Flowers called the game against the Dodgers and won? Because I thought 0-2, like, for instance, Jock Peterson, why not a slider because he's a fastball hitter, or am I nitpicking?
No, you're right. I mean, that's what I was kind of getting at earlier, is we wanted to see Folti's slider, his put-away pitch, earlier in that game. When he gave the fastball 0-2, fastball 1-2, it was supposed to be higher. So a little bit of that's on Folti as well. Folti was amped up and thinking, I've got 99, I'm going to throw it by him. Once again, he is reminded that these are the best hitters in the world and you got to hit your spots. So if he's going to throw that fastball and doesn't want to throw that slider for whatever reason, then he has to adjust and has to be letter high. And he just was pitching at the top of the zone. So I would like to see, you know, Flo also make an adjustment. And if you got to stand up, stand up.
Right.
You know, you got to do whatever you got to do to get your pitcher to hit that spot, even if it's for effect. And we'll see how Flo adapts tonight.
Paul Byrd joining us, guys, here on Dukes and Bell talking Braves. It's game 4, Braves and Dodgers. By the way, tickets still available at Braves.com/postseason if you're interested in maybe going to the game today. So just putting the word out there, Braves.com/postseason. All right, as we talk about, you know, these two pitching staffs, the bullpen as a whole, what did you think? We talked about Vizcaíno with the save, but now moving forward, how do you maneuver this bullpen?
It's all hands on deck. And you know what? That was supposed to be our weak spot. For the most part, they've pitched like men. Yes, they've walked people. They've done that all year long. But they've made pitches. They've got double plays. They've went at people, even Tookie last night, getting the jam shot, 96 in on the hands. Culberson home to Suzuki for a great play at the plate. They've made their pitches when they've had to. So if Viz can't close it out, it doesn't matter. Ventures, you know what I mean? It's all hands on deck, pushing the right buttons. And then playoffs, it doesn't matter what you did in April. It doesn't matter what you did in June.
Right.
It matters what you're doing right now. So if he puts somebody in that's hot, then you roll with that guy.
Hey, Paul.
You roll with that guy.
Paul, it's Rich Hill on the bump, left-hander. He's got a really unbelievable curveball. I mean, are you expecting him to be dialed in today?
I do, and he's had our number. But he has not pitched against us in the playoffs with our fans going absolutely nuts like they were last night, and as loud as it is. And, again, I say this, Rich Hill's great. Bueller was even better, you know? So it's the playoffs. Every starter is very good, and Braves will have their hands full. But, again, it's the playoffs. We're going to get loud. And this team clicks when they get somebody on, they score a run, and they start feeling it, and they start hugging each other in the dugout, and you see the chemistry come out. And if that happens, I think Rich Hill will find himself in for a dogfight, and Braves could come out on top.
Looking forward to seeing how this thing plays out. It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, we need the fan base to continue to do what they did last night, not only today, but throughout the course of the playoffs. I think, you know, again, anything can happen, but if we move on, man, it's only going to get more exciting. Paul, enjoy it as always, man. And again, guys, the post-game coverage followed after all Braves playoff games on Fox Sports Southeast, and follow those guys at Fox Sports Braves. Thanks again, Paul.
I appreciate it. Y'all get loud down there at 92.9.
You got it, boss. Thanks, brother.
You
got it. As I said to start the show, and Paul echoed the sentiments, it was a dynamic vibe. I mean, the crowd, I mean, it was gave you goosebumps. I mean, to look around and really hear it going. I mean, legitimate tomahawk chop in the playoffs at SunTrust. Now, hopefully, guys, and the Falcons need you too. Fans, be nice. You get off your butt and make some noise against Tampa Bay. Still in this thing. Nobody wants to hear the positives. Positives, half the NFC is at 500 or worse. We got to start winning, though, Carl.
That's the key. It is a Falcons Monday powered by Xfinity. Xfinity X1 will change the way you experience TV. When we come back, why was Kirby mad even though the Dogs won? Stay tuned.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the Dogs.
It is Dukes and Bell. Happy Monday, guys. It is a Falcon Monday. We will talk plenty about the Falcons along the way. Dan Quinn's presser in about 30 minutes from Flowery Branch. As we try to find some answers and get some solutions to some of the issues that we are facing right now. And obviously more about the Braves coming up before the game starts today.
And believe me, guys, we got plenty of time to scream and cry and yell about the Falcons. We got a long show for you this afternoon. But, I mean, I'm trying to keep it in perspective. Nobody wants to hear it. Like, we saw also how ugly it was. But we'll be breaking it down seven ways to Sunday. And we'll get your reaction as well a little bit later in the show.
All right, guys. With that, though, as you know, we adjust our schedule if you listen every day. And we hope that you do. Normally, we talk college football around 4 o'clock and go on the sidelines with the Dogs. It's brought to you by our friends at BrightBox.
Yeah, man, BrightBoxElectrical.com, 770-901-2500 for man caves, home security, home monitor. We've got more storms coming. There's a hurricane named Michael. You know, that's going to be a lot of hot air. But anyway, guys, make sure you got a backup generator. They got deals on that, too, when you call BrightBox today.
All right, with that said, let's talk about what happened with the Dogs and a quick college football segment, guys, because we'll talk more college football, obviously, tomorrow. And throughout the course of the week. But the Dogs win. It was homecoming. I thought it was a good win. I will tell you guys, I was a little concerned because, you know, Vegas had the Dogs only as a 26.5-point favorite or so. And I'm thinking to myself, Dogs are way better than that. Now, they covered the spread. That's neither here nor there. But I just found it a little quirky, Mike, that, you know, the experts thought that they weren't going to maybe beat Vandy or cover that spread. They did. Jake Fromm had a great game, 3 touchdowns. But Kirby says that they were playing undisciplined football.
They were. Yeah, a lot of mistakes, you know, and the kind of stuff that, you know, we always joke around about, like, you know, Mark Richt was the only coach that ever had guys play undisciplined. No, I mean, Kirby still has some guys that from time to time are going to do some things to leave the coaches about to pull their hair out. And you saw that at times against Vandy. I mean, look, you're up 21-6 at halftime. There were some times where Vandy had some long drives, but then the defense would bow up and then stop them, you know, and force either, you know, field goals or, you know, turnover on downs. So, yeah, I mean, I guess everybody's still waiting for that 75-0 game they're expecting. But I thought Fromm was on fire, the 3 touchdowns. The throw to Godwin, man, that thing was beautiful.
It really was.
And he had a couple guys wide open, by the way, but he decided to go and threw that bomb into traffic, and he made the play.
13 penalties, guys, for 115 yards. That's sloppy. And that part I do agree with Kirby. You are not going to beat the Alabamas or the Ohio States of the world when you get there, if you're able to get there down the road, and those things need to be corrected now. Here's Kirby, by the way, talking about, you know, they played well, but they haven't played their best.
We're yet to put a complete game together, and I don't know, we as a coaching staff got to look ourselves in the mirror and say, what are we doing to not reach this team from a discipline standpoint, penalty discipline? And it's tough.
It is. Here's the thing. We talk about Saban doing this with his guys. Kirby's doing it. I think all good coaches do it, Mike. Yeah, he knows his team's pretty good. But if you're going to be in that elite class, you've got to get these things fixed. And so for Kirby, yeah, we just won 41-17, but it wasn't good enough. And you always find those small things to get corrected because, you know, those are things that will come back to bite you later on in the season.
Now, I guess the good news is Sol McKinley went out, and then he came. I guess they're saying it's just a strain.
He was carted off.
Yep. But they say he's going to be able to be a participant at some point later this week in practice, so that's good news because obviously Cleveland's already banged up and they've got some issues. Again, you don't have all freshmen out there online, even though they're all 5-star recruits on offensive line. The pressure, and just something you and I talked about on Friday, where we're going to see heat on the quarterback. Only one sack, it was Tay Crowder. the one sack for Georgia. I think that's the one area where we just assumed you're going to plug in these guys, Carl. You're replacing guys that went right to the NFL. So interior line and the linebackers are going to have to get better. I think they're learning on the job each week. But as I said, all those long drives, they would bow up and get the stops. So Vandy might have been running the ball effectively, but Georgia would bow up and get them off the field.
Now, Jake Fromm, as we said, had a really good day. Here's the thing now. You were looking at this LSU game, even prior to last Saturday when, you know, LSU falls to Florida. And I know a lot of people were surprised at that. But now LSU is a desperate team. It's a must win for them. Their hopes of maybe, you know, finishing in the West first and certainly maybe getting to a playoff, beating a good Georgia football team would go a long way. But Jake Fromm, Mike, was surprised that they threw the ball as much as they did Saturday.
Honestly, if you'd have told me they would have thrown it that much, I would have been a little surprised, kind of coming there in that first half. But, you know, they called it. So, you know, let's go out. Let's go execute on offense. So just trying to put the ball in, you know, our playmaker's hands and let those guys make the plays.
So passing early and then running late, which is, you know, you can do that too if you're Georgia. 34 run plays, 31 pass plays. So that's balance. But there was a little pass happy early in the game. Like, I think that people are still waiting to see them just be looking like Alabama, where Alabama didn't cover against Arkansas. Saban was furious.
First time all season.
Touchdowns they gave
watching.
Up.
Who's caring?
Touchdowns they gave up against the Razorbacks. But, look, LSU, I still think, even though it's on the road, I don't trust Burrow. Burrow hit his guys in the hands. Receivers let him down. And then Florida's defensive front. I got to be honest. Florida's defensive front probably better than Georgia's right now as far as putting heat on the quarterback.
Well, the thing I keep getting out of Florida, and I'm watching this, and I keep thinking to myself, Mullen is coaching the guys up that he has. This team is playing way better than they should be. And so give credit where credit's due. I still think Mullen may be two seasons away or two recruiting classes away from what Florida can truly look like. But the quarterback position is better. He's getting better play, Mike.
Right.
And, you know, all of a sudden now, a game that we thought Georgia might be dominant and a huge favorite in, it's always a tough game against Florida, but it may be even a little bit more tougher. The games remaining, I know Auburn loses this weekend. This is our dog report, by the way, guys, as we talk college football. But Auburn loses, still not counting that game, even though it's in Athens. The LSU game this weekend in Florida, if Georgia can maneuver this schedule, they're going to be in a really good place to put themselves right back in the SEC championship game.
Here's the thing, though, and we were talking about this before the show. Auburn now has got two bad losses. Well, the Miss State loss is ugly. I don't care. There's no way to spin that one. Then you've got LSU now who lost to Florida, so you don't get them undefeated. It takes a little bit of air out of the bag, as Seth Emerson said. Anyone who was at Athens for homecoming is kind of like, oh, you're kind of a bummer that LSU lost that game. Georgia Tech's not going to give you a real out-of-schedule bounce as well, even if they do win more games. You got no margin for error. Not only do you have to win your division, you can't lose. There's an argument that says Georgia can't lose the SEC championship and then think they're going to still find their way into the playoffs if Notre Dame runs the table.
Well, they're on the come, and we talked about it. An unbeaten Notre Dame who beat Virginia Tech this weekend, a night game, a crazy atmosphere. I don't think Notre Dame loses again simply because they're going to be favored in every game, and all of a sudden now, you know, the committee is going to be with the, you know, tasked with the idea of how do you leave an undefeated Notre Dame team out with their strength of schedule. I agree with you, Mike. Now, all of a sudden, you could be talking about one SEC team, Notre Dame as an independent, right? Mm-hmm. Then you're talking about, oh, well, maybe Ohio State. Let's just assume they win the Big Ten. All right, who's that fourth team to get in? Is it Clemson? Is it a Big 12 team?
Well, I think Clemson had their scare. I think the game where Lawrence goes out, that was their one. There's always one every year with Clemson. Tell me who's going to beat them. They get a good NC State team, but they're coming to Death Valley. You know, Boston College is good defense. That could be a funky one at Boston. But they're not going to lose. They're going to smoke Florida State and Tallahassee. I mean, they're okay. I think they got past their scare. So my point is, Georgia, you know, needs to win and maybe even win the SEC championship because I don't think that large team, you're going to get two from the SEC this year.
Well, and by the way, that's the way Georgia should be thinking. It should be, well, let's get to the SEC championship. And when we lose, we hope we still get in.
Yeah. Well, Alabama just looks like a monster right now.
They are. But I think the idea has to be not only are we going to get there, we're going to win, and then we you know, control our own fate. It is going to get very interesting, guys, here over the next few weeks. This is why we love college football. Once again, our college football report brought to you by our friends at BrightBox.
BrightBox Electrical Man, 770-901-2500. If you are looking for the ultimate man cave or you need some generators, make sure you always have juice in your dojo. Call them up today or go to BrightBoxElectrical.com.
Let's hear from Elijah Holyfield, guys. He had 64 yards on 6 carries. James Cook, 56 yards on 7 carries. He had a long touchdown that was called back. DeAndre Swift 50 yards on seven carries. We said this, running back by committee, they're not giving the ball to one guy for 24 times. But Holyfield said we were focused, but now it's all about LSU.
You know, we take it one week at a time. We were very focused on Vandy because they have a really good team. And now our focus shifts to LSU.
And it's going to be a big focus because, as we said, that's a 3:30 game, by the way, this Saturday.
All right, you and I are prospective alma maters. You won your rivalry game, and we blew a 20-point lead. Is Texas back? Signature win for Tom Herman.
It is the signature win. I told you guys USC was nice. TCU was better. This one saves your job for 2 years, and I'm serious.
Right.
So, you know, now what do you do with this? And the question for most Texas fans, or at least alums, or does he blow this? Now do you screw this up because you've won the games you've needed to win? Hey, a reminder, guys, Kaufman Tires. Today is the day. Falcon fans, you have a chance to save up to $100 at Kaufman Tires. Yesterday, the team scored in two quarters. That means you save $50 on a set of four new tires. Today only at KaufmanTire.com.
And by the way, Tech fans, hats off. We said it on Friday. You guys were going to win that game going away. And boy, did you ever up at wherever the hell they played, Louisville. Hey, man, we'll come back. We got more Falcon talk. People are hopping mad. It's pitchforks and torches. That's the mood right now in Falcon Nation. Carl and I will try to talk you off the ledge, and but also call out the guys that got to be playing better.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.